God.
And once again, great crowd here at Vanderbilt Sports and Spirits.
All to see this man.
Brian Winters now joins
Name
us.
Players, you and me.
Our player guest segment is presented by M&T Bank, the official community bank of the New York Jets. Let's bring in the aforementioned Brian Winters in. Folks, Robbie Anderson is also in the house. He is up next. Robbie over there in the corner. But first off, Brian, what was the mood of the team today after a three-game winning streak came to an end? My feeling in the locker room last night and then listening to the conference calls today is there is an expectation of winning, and bottom line, no moral victories. Nobody was happy with yesterday's outcome.
But it's always a but.
No, no.
Well, you know, going into this, well, today we have the 24-hour rule. You know, can't bring it back up. You know, there's obviously some iffy calls in that game. You know, I thought as a whole team we played our asses off, played really well. But like I said, going into today, we couldn't really think about it. We got another division opponent ahead of us, so we just got to turn our attention to them.
Yeah, they're going to be thinking payback as well. You know, this is a Disney Channel, man, so I don't know if you want to go with
okay.
the...
Okay, swearing.
No, I'm messing up.
He's okay. We're on Facebook.
Listen, you know, Josh dropped back, 40 times?
54 times.
54.
54 times, and for the most part, you guys kept them clean. This unit seems to be coming together. How are you guys building so much chemistry together? You know, you're taking, you know, Lou's Mangold, a guy who's a glue guy for you guys.
Yep.
How are you guys coming together as a unit so quickly?
You know, obviously in the offseason we added a few pieces with Kelvin Beachum. You know, when you get new players in, you know, the biggest thing is chemistry. You got to work with each other, you know, offseason, hang out with them off the field, kind of learn, you know, what type of person they are. But game by game, I feel like we're only growing. You know, you have your hiccups here and there, but you feel you know what they're going to do next to you, and you know how to work off them, and that's going to continue to build.
What was the atmosphere like at MetLife for you guys as players when you took that 14-0 lead against the Patriots?
It was awesome. I thought we were going to continue to roll. Yeah. I was like, man, this is going to be great. You know, we come out with two series, two touchdowns. I was excited, but you know, the atmosphere was great. It's building, like Bart said. You know. Every game, you know, we're getting more and more crowd, so it's awesome.
What changed in between that point where you take the 14-0 lead on Curley's touchdown until the fourth quarter? Because Josh talked about today, Josh McCown talked about, we got to do a better job converting on third and shorts. I guess three and nine on third and fourth downs of 4 yards or less.
Another question, what were they doing? And why were they successful? What kind of defense were they playing? What kind of looks were they giving you guys?
They started loading the box, you know, more towards that. So it was tough for us. You know, they saw on film, obviously, when it gets down in that distance, what are you going to do? You're going to run the ball. So they'd load the box up, and, you know, obviously they stopped us more than we got it. So
now, you know, looking at the Jacksonville game, you know, they had 9 men in the box. You know, and you guys were, you know, looked like pretty much in sync, letting the backside guy go, climbing up to the second level. What's the difference between blocking for the different backs, Bilal, Matt, McGuire? What's the difference when they get in?
You know, Matt's a reader. You know, that's been his claim to fame. You know, when we run outside zone, he's always a guy who's real good with looking at cutbacks and all that. Bilal's a downhill guy for his size. You know, he hits the hole and he goes. And McGuire, I'm still trying to figure out. And, you know, I don't
just one cut and go.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm still trying to figure him out. But
rookies.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, John Morton, I think, has done a real good job early on, because when you guys struggled to run the football in those first two games, he said we're going to find a way to run it. And like Bart was talking about, you're countering 9-man boxes, 8-man boxes sometimes by going big, going 2 tight ends, bringing Tomlinson in there, and then having Brent Quale as an extra lineman up front.
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing is that he's trying to simplify things, make it easier for us, you know. So, like you said, we're bringing in extra hats. You know, obviously they're loading the box, so we got to bring in the extra big guys. But his biggest thing is to simplify the game and make it easier for us.
What was the expectation for this team when you guys were there in training camp and you had to face all these questions? What are the Jets doing? You guys really have a chance this year internally? What were your expectations for this team once around training camp reached a conclusion?
we really can't pay attention to the outside noise. I know the type of people we have in the locker room. I know the type of players we have in the locker room. And that's all we have. So the people that are in there, you know, we're riding with. And obviously we're doing a great job now. We're shutting people up. But, you know, it doesn't stop here. You know, we got to continue to work.
You know, we know this is a copycat league. So what's the adjustments that you're going to have to make? Because next week, you know, you go against the Dolphins. You know, they've played you before. You know, so they're going to load the box as well. You know, what's the difference in going against a guy like a Dominican Sue and Wake on the outside? They have outside pressure and inside pressure. How you guys want to slow those guys down? Because we know how important it is for you to establish a run.
Yeah, absolutely. This past game, you know, those kind of guys are more two-gap players. These guys are
penetrating. Explain to the people listening, two-gap, because I don't think they understand what
hat readers. They come off the ball and look at you. That's all they
do.
So
they're not trying to get penetration. They're not one-gap penetration. They're not trying to get depth in the back, but they're trying to stalemate you at the line.
They're trying to occupy so a guy like Bart can come and make the tackle.
Exactly. But Ndamukong, you know, I got great respect for him. He's a great player. Wake, same thing. But, you know, we just, you know, the biggest thing is we run at them. You know, after a while, they're going to get tired. We just got to continue to pound the ball. We got to work on every little thing and, you know, just take this game like any other.
Without giving away state secrets, you've had success against Ndamukong Suh. You actually broke into the starting lineup a couple years ago when Willie went out and you guys were in London, and here you came and everybody was talking about, wow, the Jets are going to have problems on the interior. And you showed your potential there, and then obviously you've grown into a very good lineman in this league. But what has that matchup been like going against Sue?
Just another guy. I mean,
everyone. That's what I'm talking about. Nameless, faceless object.
Everyone in the NFL is good. So, yeah, he's got a name and everything. He could scare people, but, I mean, I really don't care.
Yeah.
No. Personally, how has your journey gone? You know, you go from, you know, being part of an offensive line that has, I believe, a borderline Hall of Famer in Nick Mango, to you really having to take that leadership role. What are some of the steps? What did you have to do to step into that role?
It was great, obviously, coming in my rookie year and learning from him. You know, he's an Ohio guy. I'm an Ohio guy, so he kind of took me under his wing. He just taught me the ropes, you know, taught me football pretty much. You know, I came from a small school, so obviously football there wasn't the biggest thing. So
I always tell people I went to 13th grade.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Brian, of course, went to Kent State. The aforementioned Nick Mangold played up the road at Ohio State.
James Harrison.
That's it. Yeah. No, but he taught me a lot of things, you know, on and off the field. But taking over, I wouldn't say necessarily taking over his role, but, you know, being the veteran player in the offensive room, you know, guys lean on you, so you got to be there and, you know, have, if they got questions, you got to answer them.
The offensive line, it's all about cohesion. And I have found throughout the course of covering the National Football League close to two decades is that that's always one of the tighter units in the locker room. Do you guys get together on your own once a week? And is there a big dinner plan?
We get together a good amount. I wouldn't say every week, but we're always doing something, you know. It's not always all of us together, but there's always a good amount of us together. But we try to stay together on and off the field.
What about your offensive line coach, Steve Marshall? What can you tell fans about him? And I know you've really enjoyed working under his tutelage.
Yeah, he's a great coach. He's taught me a lot. He's taught me a lot about the game in general. He works well with young guys. He's just a great coach all around.
How about technique-wise? How has he helped you?
He's a lot. You know, the biggest thing, you know, I had Coach Devlin coming in. Coach Dev coming in, and then, you know, Coach Marshall. And, you know, he taught me different techniques that fit my play style better, and, you know, it's worked out well.
How about this, Bart? This guy's training regimen in off season. He doesn't like to run, so he pulls around. He doesn't like me bringing it up, but he pulls trucks. So maybe in the parking lot tonight we can tie a rope around him and see if he can take one of the trucks for a ride.
Well, he can have a second career with the World's Strongest Man, you know, because that's one of the competitions right there.
There it is.
Absolutely.
What did you used to do when you were playing off season?
Well, I'm a boxing guy, yeah. So I did a lot of boxing. It's good for your hand-eye coordination. It's good for you to see a target. No different from a closed fist or open hand, being able to jam somebody, being able to get your hand, shoot them inside. you know, yeah, pulling trucks, nah, I ain't about that life.
So, Brian, what do you guys have to do as offensive linemen? Because everybody talks about the hand-to-hand combat that's so important for you to be successful. So how do you work in your hands?
You got to be faster than them.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing.
But drill-wise.
We do a lot of drills.
You're punching bumpers, man.
Yeah. We got the hand shields out there, you know, the boxing shields that we work on. We work on combination punches and all that, and, you know, ball throws and all different types of drills Coach Marshall puts together for us. But, you know, gets our hands moving and gets our hands working.
So you're saying we're not going to put the miles per hour meter on you when you out there pulling?
No.
We're not going to get no top speed, like 15, 20 miles an hour?
No top speed.
Real quickly before the break, Bart likes to look at the wardrobe and assess how folks are doing. What do you think about the ensemble tonight?
I'm going to tell you what, you killing Beecham, man. He came here with Nike golf
shirt.
Oh,
God,
Nike
don't get me started with Beecham's clothes.
A pink, and it looked like he had some Bugle Boy jeans on, man. So, listen, you need to pull him to the side, man.
Bugle Boy, I don't think people remember that. All right, so Brian Winters, thank you so much for joining us on Inside the Jets. We'll be right back with Robbie Anderson.